Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. Thanks so much for listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning. Hey, I wanted to share with you this last week. My wife and I were able to drive over to the coast and watch and listen to the ocean for a little while last Monday afternoon. That was kind of our Valentine's getaway trip, if you would, And we were able to visit some folks over in Barstow that night that we wanted to see. But it was just especially awesome to be able to go and just look at and listen to the ocean once again. It had been a long time since we'd done that. And I don't know about you, but there are just times when, whether it's the ocean, whether it's the mountains, whether even if it's just seeing the desert come, or the sun come up here in the desert, here in Las Vegas, the beauty of God's creation all over the place is just something that we need to always consider. I like what Psalm 19 says. Psalm 19, and starting in verse 1. Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands." And I just want you to always make sure that you keep the awe of God in your mind and in your life. That is, you consider the God of creation, whether you're looking up at the stars or the moon or images from the Hubble telescope of our universe. God created all of those things. And even if you're looking at microscopic images, things taken by electron microscopes, so small that you can't even begin to see them with your naked eye on the smaller scale, you know, the DNA of our genes and all of those things, God is the one that's responsible for all those things. Don't ever lose your awe of God. Don't ever lose the fact that God brought all of these things into existence, and that God is the one that gave us life, and that God is the one who loves us in spite of our sin, in spite of all of our shortcomings and everything else in our life. God still loved the world so much that He demonstrated it by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. So I just wanted to share that with you and remind you to always take time out, you know, certainly every once in a while, just to make sure that you remember how big God is and how wonderful God is. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 again. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and let's just rehearse a little bit. We finished with this the last time, but I love Ecclesiastes 4 and 9. Remember, Ecclesiastes been kind of that under the sun view without really considering God is hard. And this is what so much of the time the world does. And yet, even in spite of that, the love of God is still there, that the relationships between the God's people are still there. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, Solomon finally starts using that word better. And talking about better, he's started that in chapter 4 a little bit. But remember, in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9, two are better than one. two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Okay, so two are better than one. And boy, we still say that even now into the 21st century. Two are better than one. Two heads are better than one. Okay, in other parts of Scripture it says in a multitude of counselors there's wisdom. And of course, on the testimony of two or three witnesses, a matter of judgment needs to be taken care of. And so two are better than one, and it goes on to say, because they have a good return for their work. In other words, there's productivity, there's complementariness in two people working together, and where one maybe lacks, the other one is better, and you kind of feed off of each other, and you're there for each other. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. It goes on to say in verse 10, if one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. So, you know, it's not just about productivity. It's about being there for help and for being in a situation where you can help somebody up if he falls down. And pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. I think there's a lot of people that think they're in that position. I think there's a lot of people that think they have no friends, that nobody's there for them. Well, I want you to know that God would love to be there for you, but he's waiting for you to come back to him. And so just realize that there's two are better than one because of help. Also, it goes on to say, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? This is kind of more the idea way back when of travelers traveling together. It's cold outside, and you know, if two lie down on a journey, kind of that way, they help keep each other warm. And so there's comfort in two people, companionship even with two, that one just doesn't cut it. And then the last one it talks about in verse 12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Okay, so we certainly understand that as far as security, as far as safety, as far as, hey, you know, I've got your back, and maybe someone would think about, you know, attacking or taking on one person, but hey, if there's two people, I don't know, you know, it's bigger, better odds for you. So two are better than one. I like how Solomon is trying to help us to see that, especially since he's been talking about man being all alone. And we talked about how grievous a state that is. He ends verse 12 by saying, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, it's kind of funny. You think, well, he's been talking about two. Why did all of a sudden he switch to three? Well, even more so, you can go from two to three to four to five to you keep going. The idea is that the more there is in community, that there is there's a safety, there's a security, there's a help, there's a productivity, there's a comfort in numbers. And, you know, he uses three, but three strands, of course, is even less easily broken than two, and more and more and more. And so it's the idea of community. And friends, I want you to understand this. This is the kind of community that the church is supposed to be. The church is not supposed to be just some kind of country club. It's not supposed to be like the Las Vegas Athletic Club where everybody goes to work out. The church is a body of believers that, like Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 says, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, they, the church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Okay, so first of all, I want you to realize that God is the one that adds people to the church when they respond to his grace. Okay, when they come to believe the truth about Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, when they will trust in his shed blood, when they will repent of their apathy toward God and having fellowship with him, that they will say, I'm done with this life of sin and I'm tired of the way that I've lived. There's got to be something better. And like Solomon's saying there, right? There's got to be something better. And they turn to God. And of course, one of the first things that you do when you've accepted the truth of the gospel is you're baptized into Christ. You clothe yourself with Christ. You put on Christ, like Galatians 3:27 says. You die with Christ in baptism. You're raised to walk in newness of life, raised up by the power of God. All right? And so maybe you haven't done that. Maybe God hasn't added you to his church. Maybe that's why you're alone. Maybe that's why you're feeling that there's nobody to help you up, nobody to comfort you, nobody that's got your back, nobody that you can trust. Well, I can tell you that you can trust God, and he's good, and God's people are good. And I know people hear lots of stories, and unfortunately there are sometimes when people are hypocrites, people do wicked, ungodly things, even as Christians, but not everybody does that. I want you to know that. And if you've been turned off by a church, or usually it's just a few specific people in a specific location, don't let that cause you to get bitter and say, I'm never going back to church again. Don't do that, please. Give God an opportunity. And somebody says, well, I can just worship God fine by myself. I don't need anybody else. Well, no, not really. Okay, it's nice to have fellowship with God, but God expects us to be in fellowship and community with other Christian people. Okay, that's why he says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay? It's good to come together with God's people. It's good to meet with God's people on Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night, and to get together at other times of the week. It's good to sit down and talk about spiritual things and just keep in touch with each other, whether it's through text or Facebook or whatever. And how are you doing? You know, I had a brother call me the other day because he had kind of heard that I wasn't feeling too good. And he said, you know, I don't know how you're feeling, but I just wanted to let you know, if you're not going to be able to take care of the Wednesday night meeting, that, you know, I'll be happy to just fill in and do something. And it's like, well, I really appreciated that. You know, that was awesome that he was thinking not just of me, but of the rest of the believers that were going to come together if I was really that sick. And, you know, I really appreciated that very much. And so it's good to be a part of a fellowship of believers. It's good to know that there's two or more that are there to come along and help out and be there for you. And God's people, we need to come together and encourage one another. And I hope that if you're not attending a church meeting, okay, that you'll do that. Hey, that's part of the reason we're here, to let you know about the church at Las Vegas. To come and meet with us at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's where we meet. It's not the church. The church is the people. But we meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. And we'd love to have you come and be able to encourage you and have you encourage us, and that we would mutually benefit from each other. That's what Solomon's talking about here in Ecclesiastes 4, is that two are better than one, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Christian life is meant to be lived in community with God's people, to the community of the world that doesn't know God yet. All right? So let's not forget these things. Hey, let's listen to our first song this morning. This is by Selah, and it's called Press On. And I hope that's what you do, that even when things get tough, even though you might fall down, even when things don't seem to always go the way that you think you think they should, or boy, when it just seems like you're all alone, that you just keep pressing on. You just keep pressing on in Jesus' name, and that you just keep living your life to honor Him, and that you get that encouragement from God's people that helps you to continue to press on. All right, let's listen to this first song this morning. We're back this morning, and let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and finish this chapter up this morning. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 13 down through 16. It says, "Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to take warning." Now, that's a little bit different than we normally suspect, isn't it? Because normally we think the older, more experienced, established king is better than the young man, even though that he may be wise. But it just shows you that not everything is just that. Sometimes people say, well, you know, old age always has the experience and always had. Well, not always. And that's what it's exemplifying here. Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king. Nothing wrong with being old. The problem is being foolish, okay? And the foolishness really has the idea of who no longer knows how to take warning or doesn't want to listen to anybody else. In other words, sometimes people get established in this king, this foolish king, you get established and you don't think you need to be accountable to anybody. You don't think you need to listen to anybody. It's like, we're going to do it my way. That's a dangerous attitude to have. And that's why Solomon's saying better a poor but wise youth, than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to take warning. It's really all about the power of position and even honor and advancement. That, okay, it's great to be the king. It's great to be an old, experienced king, but not a foolish one. Okay, if that's what it degenerates into, then yeah, it's worthless. It's meaningless. And even the young wise man that's poor, it's like, guess what? He goes on to say in verse 14, the youth may have come from prison to the kingship, or he may have been born in poverty within his kingdom. So it just shows you that kind of rags to riches mentality. Even that you go from being born in poverty or you know, maybe having problems or circumstances when you're young, and just overcoming those, that's a great thing to come into a position of power or authority, but that doesn't mean that you got it all figured out in life. There's a lot of great rags to riches stories, but just because you went from one position to another position doesn't mean that you got it all made. Like Jesus said, and we've quoted it several times, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul, or even to gain a kingship? It's nice that you started there, but what are you going to continue to do with it? Now, verse 15 seems to, in most other translations, it's the idea that there's another youth here. The NIV kind of makes it seem like it's just one, but it seems like it's more that there's another youth that's being talked about here. When he says, I saw that all who lived and walked under the sun followed the youth, the king's successor. Hey, there was no end to all the people who were before them, but those who came later were not pleased with the successor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And again, it's that idea that, hey, here's a king who was once honored by the people, but he's not going to maintain his popularity forever. And especially if he becomes old and foolish and not willing to listen to anybody anymore. Okay, eventually the king is going to fall out of favor. All right. And really, from no matter what direction, it's like, even if he was young and rags to riches story and he became popular and he was a king, well, then here's another one that follows after him. And it's kind of like, well, you know, we don't know who you are. And we like the first one, but hey, we're not really pleased with the successor. And so it's really showing how people can be so fickle, and popularity can be so fickle, and position can be so fickle. And we need to make sure that our success in life, if you were, or the way we view how successful our life is, doesn't just depend on our position or how people think about us, right? This is one of those traps that especially young people fall into, but it's not just confined to them. It can happen in any kind of situation. We need to make sure that in our advancement, to whatever degree it is that we're honoring God as we advance. Okay, even if we become the king, okay, that's nice, but it's not trying to make everybody happy. You can't make everybody happy. And so it's about doing the very best that you can, having wisdom, not being foolish, okay, no matter where you come from, that you honor God with your life, and that you realize that, hey, positions and like we've talked about, riches and glory and honor, all those things from an earthly perspective, those things can be over and done so quickly. And that's why Jesus encourages us to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, right? And that we would do whatever we do to the glory of God, and not just to be seen by men. We addressed this last night or Wednesday night in our prayer meeting when we talked about Matthew chapter 6, how Jesus talked about not doing your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them, not praying, standing in the street corners when you pray to be seen by men. And then he talked about fasting also, that when you fast, you know, if you're just fasting to get the notice of other people, well, that's your reward. And you shouldn't just do it for men. We need to live our life before God. Yes, we want other people to approve of our life before God. But whether they do or not, what matters is that we know we're striving to live our life before God. And if we're striving to live our life before God, then other people who are also striving to live their lives before God are going to notice that as well. So there's a lot of wisdom. I hope you can see that we can glean from the book of Ecclesiastes, even though that under the sun mentality can get you down a little bit. There is wisdom that can be found from it. And we need to make sure that our hope and our trust and everything else is not just in our advancement or our position or our popularity. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind if that's all you have. Okay? Hey, we're the Church of Las Vegas. We'd love to have you come and join us. Like I said earlier, we meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you come and join us and just worship God and open up the Word of God and hear it taught and preached and proclaimed, to come together with other Christians for encouragement and fellowship, to pray and to sing and to come around the Lord's table on the first day of every week. We love to honor the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. So come and join us. You can also find out more about us on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com. thechurchatlasvegas.com, and there you can find out a little bit more about us. Hey, thanks so much for listening this morning. Thanks so much for praying for this broadcast. We're very grateful and thankful to Lotus Broadcasting to be able to share the truths of God's Word on this station, and we just ask you to pray for them and pray for this ministry and that you would just be really searching your own heart and life as you live before God. Till next time, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.